Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
24 years ago, you did make the decision to consolidate the power with the coach. And there are very few teams that are run that way anymore. Was part of this maybe you making the decision that somebody having that much power was too much?
I don't think it happened till after the third Super Bowl, but it slowly happened. And in my opinion, he earned it. It worked pretty well for most of the time. All of us need checks and balances in our life. I call it, we need Dr. No's around us, people to protect us from ourselves. You know, as things evolved and you get more power, sometimes people are afraid to speak up. Once you have it, it's kind of hard to pull it away and expect to have the accountability you want.
Robert Kraft, after firing, mutually parting ways with Bill Belichick a few months back. Hour number three, Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We are live today inside the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Now, during Truck Month, you can get a great deal on Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 47 years straight, and the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. Now, we've been reading all day from Voted Off the Island, inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. It's the latest from Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler. We're going to talk to Jeremy Fowler at 5 o'clock. Mark that down. That's 1 hour from now. We'll get his thoughts not only on this, because I do have answers that I want on this story, and specifically Robert Kraft's role in it, which we'll get to. He also had some quarterback tiers that he released in the last 24 to 48 hours. I want some thoughts on that as well. So we'll talk quarterbacks with Jeremy Fowler and this story up now at ESPN. Let me give you the lead, and we'll give you our thoughts on it. A few hours before the Falcons named Raheem Morris to be their next head coach, Bill Belichick believed the job was his. From Belichick's perspective, he had done everything right. He assured Arthur Blank he wasn't seeking total control. He pledged to work with the team's existing group of decision-makers, Rich McKay, Terry Fontenot, etc. And Belichick also knew that Blank had checked his references with a group that included Patriots owner Robert Kraft and his son, Jonathan. Indeed. Even in Atlanta's crowded field of 14 candidates, including Jim Harbaugh and Mike Vrabel, Belichick was confident he would be hired. No other candidate owned 8 Super Bowl rings. That's such a Bill answer. Like, that's 8 rings just trumps everything. 8. Well, of course they're going to hire me. 8 rings. Like, you talk about Bill's arrogance, which we'll get to. Like, that is an arrogant. Bill just assumed he was getting the job. I got 8 rings. Count the rings. Count them. And he doesn't think about any of the negatives he brings to the table. Then, like many fans, Belichick was blindsided by news that Atlanta had hired Raheem Morris. When he was asked about Belichick's failed candidacy, Arthur Blank spoke respectfully, quote, a living legend, Blank called him. What Belichick didn't say is that he and his top lieutenants had voted on the team's next head coach, ranking each candidate. Belichick didn't even finish in anyone's top three. Ouch. The greatest coach of all time hadn't come close, and it was as close as Bill Belichick would come in 2024. We've been giving our reaction to this all show long. We have our big question of the day up now. At Jones and Mego, will Bill Belichick ever coach again in the NFL? 52% say yes. Mego, you agree with that group?
I do. I think it's going to be a very specific destination for him, though, because I fully expect Mike McCarthy to fail with the Cowboys again this coming season. And for a very desperate old man in Jerry Jones to look to a very desperate old coach in Bill Belichick and these two old guys just right off into the sunset together. I really think that that is like the match. I don't know if you call it the match made in heaven, but I think that that's the one that's going to work out, that they're both going to look at each other and say, you're the best shot I've got. It's not a perfect match, but we can make it work for 2 years. And it makes sense for both of us.
No, it does. And trust me, even though I don't think Bill will ever coach again in the NFL, that would be awesome. That'd be the ideal situation for us. And I think for the league, that'd be great. Belichick and Jerry Jones, Bill in Dallas. And, well, as Bill said, the Crafts wouldn't be happy about it. Here's another passage in the story. Next season, the list of potential suitors for Bill will be limited. In the coming weeks, Belichick is expected to sign a deal to do analysis for Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. Boo. They produce ESPN's Manning cast during Monday Night Football. He's believed to be biding his time until next January for openings on teams that he's told confidants, he'd be interested in coaching. The Dallas Cowboys, Mego, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New York Giants. A source who spoke with a longtime friend of Belichick, says a source who spoke with one of Bill's buddies, said the friend wonders if the coach will have another opportunity. Quote, I don't think Bill will ever be a head coach again in the National Football League, the friend said, unless it's for Jerry Jones. So Mego says he'll coach again. He'll coach for Dallas. Arcan, how'd you answer?
I answered no, and I think that with Dallas, it's a team that I thought was going to be his destination this past offseason. I thought that made the most sense. I thought that based on the way that they lost in that wild card round, that McCarthy was going to get fired for sure, and I thought that Jones would make an emotional decision and just go right to Belichick. The fact that he didn't tells me that, you know, he wasn't really all that gung-ho about doing it. Now, maybe he didn't want to pay McCarthy to not coach or whatever you think about that, but you also have to remember that Dak Prescott only has this next year on his contract, and he's facing this legal situation, which I don't know if that's going to be settled in time. And if they're rebuilding, like if they have to rebuild a quarterback the offseason after that, do they want Bill Belichick for 2 years for a rebuild? Like, I wouldn't want that.
Well, maybe they wouldn't, but remember, Bill wasn't very complimentary of Dak leading into that Dallas game last year, so maybe that would be attractive to Bill.
Bringing Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's true. I'm with you, Arcan. I don't think he's ever going to coach again. And I thought he was a shoo-in to get the Atlanta job. I thought he'd get another job after Atlanta. I'm like, of course some dumb owner is going to go out and bring in Bill Belichick. But at his age, 1 year away from the NFL, and what I am forecasting, I know not everybody feels this way, what I am forecasting as an improved team on the football field, they're going to be better this year. They're going to win more games than they won last year with Bill Belichick. They're going to have a rookie quarterback. You're furrowing your brow over there.
No, I'm not.
You took the over on 4.5 wins yesterday.
I can't furrow my brow right now.
Well, something happened with your eyebrow.
Well, okay. That was an involuntary twitch.
Botox
then.
Twitch.
You took the over on 4.5.
Reacting. Yeah, yeah. I think that they're going to be better than they were last year, but I think that the simplistic knee-jerk reaction that a lot of people are going to have is, oh, okay, you fired Bill Belichick and you won 5 games.
Okay, well, that's more than they won with him.
But I think that it'll be like, look, it didn't even make that big of a difference. You're still last in your division.
Yeah, fine.
You still look dreadful.
But if the kid can play and they win 6 games, Bill's going to look
bad.
What
if you don't even see the kid and Drake May?
Okay, well, then that's different. But what I'm forecasting is your rookie's going to play. You're going to win more games. You're going to look like you're onto something. Bill's going to look worse. This is my prediction. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think Bill's getting another job. And part of it is because I don't think Robert Kraft wants him to get another job. Arthur Blank spoke by phone at least twice to Robert Kraft, according to ESPN. Among NFL owners, Blank considers Kraft his closest friend. I feel like we're talking about
Ice may be my best friend.
That's exactly what I feel like we're talking about.
Like
Ice
what?
And Job.
Ice may be my best
friend. Oh.
Ice.
This may be my best.
Thanks, friend. I'm not your friend.
Blank considers Kraft to be his closest friend. Publicly, Kraft and Blank have said Kraft expressed only support and offered praise of his former coach. That's what they say publicly, although we all watch the Dynasty, and Kraft ripped him limb from limb. But in a conversation with...
Yeah, but that was in public.
No, that's true.
On Apple Plus.
It was only, you know, for Apple Plus TV subscribers. It wasn't for the whole country. But in a conversation with Blank, Kraft delivered a stark assessment of Belichick's character. According to a source who spoke to two people, a close Kraft friend and a longtime Belichick confidant. So in theory, this is both sides, the Kraft side and the Bill side, right? The source quoted the Belichick source as saying, Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill. That account was backed up, the source said, by a close Kraft friend. So one more time, don't trust him. Not like, hey, you know what? I think he's lost the step. Bill, maybe some of his views are a little out of touch with the way the league is trending. I don't know how many more years he's going to cut. No. He didn't say any of those things. He said, don't trust him.
He is untrustworthy.
And Robert called him. That's what it says, right?
They checked each other's references.
In a conversation with Blank.
I think Kraft, Blank called Kraft.
Yeah, maybe I cut some of that out. I don't know. My answer is I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't. From what I trimmed out of the story, I don't have
to
that.
To me, that's like, if Robert's calling him and is like, hey, how you doing anyway? Bill sucks and he's stubborn and I hate him and he's arrogant. It's like, whoa, that's very different than Arthur calling him and being like, so, you know, what is it like day to day working with Bill?
The sources said Kraft made clear to Blank, you'll never have a warm conversation with Belichick, echoing what Parcells told Kraft in 96.
Now, I also think that's not true.
And Blank said, oh, no.
Well, somebody
I love
might.
Warm conversations.
Somebody might, but your boss, maybe Bill's not going to have warm conversations with the boss.
You know,
he might have warm conversations with some people in the organization, but not his boss. I mean,
we also might have different definitions of what a warm conversation is.
Fair. When he wanted to bust the budget and hire Bill Belichick, that's what Parcells told him in 96. Blank likes coaches who feel like a part of the family, a Falcons source said, and it wasn't going to be that way with Bill.
Okay, what about the mean person in your family?
Yeah,
that
well,
can still
he
be part of the family.
That's a good point, but not.
And he'll bring his kids and everybody. It'll be just like a family.
Yeah, that's true. There will be a lot of Bill children and friends of Bill's kids and Bill's friends around. That's true.
And then there'll also just be a lot of kids wandering around because you won't have daycare for the players.
Well, that's more of a Kraft thing, but that's true. The comments were consistent with what Kraft had been telling confidants for months. After an unprecedented run, after Spygate and Aaron Hernandez, and after backing his coach and moving on from Brady, after disagreements public, which this line's good, cash the Krafts were willing to spend. That's when Bill was done. When he called out their spending after they lost a couple of years ago in the final game of the year against Buffalo going into 2023, and we even know from this story, Robert was thinking about moving on from Bill after the 2022 season. Like, that's it right there. Talking about their public spending, Bill was going to war with Robert, and he wasn't going to recover. And in private, leaking against each other.
Again? What is it with using this term?
There's dark corners of the internet where you can look that up. I wouldn't suggest doing that on a DuckDuckGo.
That's got to be a Seth Wickershamism because he used that last time he wrote about these two.
Yeah. Not just leaking stories, leaking against each other.
Yeah, just a freak of leak. You know what I mean?
Directly or through associates. I thought that was that a Trump thing over in Russia, I think. The owner had lost trust in Bill, which was a key reason for their deteriorating working relationship and at the end of the Patriot Way. A second source close to Kraft said Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn. Oh, gee, you think? And in the end, not worthy of his trust. He was also very, very, very arrogant. So there you go. Stacey James denied it, although he acknowledged Robert doesn't remember necessarily saying that. Also, Robert could have trashed him prior to mutually parting ways at like an owner's meeting or something like that.
Or like on an Apple Plus special that was a 10-part documentary series.
That
maybe.
Too. So you can jump in
That's
on all of this.
That's possible.
You can jump in on all of this. How do you feel about Robert Kraft doing this to Bill? Because I think the real takeaway, whether Arthur Blank would have hired him or not, the real takeaway is Robert tried like hell to ensure that Bill would never get another job.
Is the rest of the NFL going to be turned off by them leaking against each other?
I can see why Arthur Blank may not be down for that. You can weigh in, 617-779-7937. You can
Jerry
vote.
Jones is like, yeah.
You can vote at Jones and Mego. He's like, I got the hole in the bathroom stall just for that. We can get to that coming up. Arkin, with all the latest in trending, we also have Brian Scalabrine standing by. We'll talk Celtics and get to all your Patriots phone calls next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Talk about the two goalies. I don't think it matters who comes first.
Trust me, it matters.
Jones and Mego. It matters.
Brad, when you put this team together, you probably, you know, have your thoughts of this is how I hope it goes. How did the way the season went compare to those expectations for you?
I think first of all, you can never expect that you're going to be 64 win team. I mean, that's a really hard threshold to meet. No matter how good you are, no matter how many, how well organized you are from a coaching standpoint, how many options you have from a playing standpoint, that's just a hard thing to do. So I don't know that that was my expectation, but being able to see what we're capable of on both ends of the court, you know, I'm not surprised, you know, that we can be a really good basketball team. You know, that doesn't guarantee anything. You've got to go out and continue to play well and earn it and do all those things, but we have, you know, we've got a lot of good players that want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and that was pretty clear from the get-go. And you know, I think our job is to try to fit it all together.
That was Brad Stevens yesterday discussing the goals for his team this year. It's something we could talk about with Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us coming up about 5 minutes from now as we're live today in our WEEI Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Taking you up until Red Sox and Guardians tonight at Fenway Park. We talked to Alex Cora earlier today. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Use the rewind feature to listen to Alex Cora or stay tuned for Brian Scalabrine coming up here in a few moments. Are we considering these matchups at all? Like, there's play-in games tonight. It's Philly and Miami. Are you going to be watching tonight and rooting one way or the other? Are you going to have a rooting interest in these games tonight? Are you going to wait until Friday when it's actually set who the Celtics are going to play? Like, how hard are you following these? How much do you care as it relates to Boston?
I'm definitely watching out of curiosity more so for Miami. Like, who's Miami going to be if they continue? Because they've been in this spot before. They were in this spot last year, and they went all the way to the finals. So I'm curious just to check in mostly on them. I'm individually afraid of Jimmy Butler, but I don't really think this matchup means much for the Celtics. Like, the Celtics are just going to get through anybody in the Eastern Conference and get back to the finals. I completely feel that way. So it's like, I don't want to say they're going through the motions with whatever happens next, but I'll be watching out of curiosity.
Arkan?
I'm watching that early game for sure. I don't care about the Atlanta-Chicago game, but I think both Miami and Philadelphia could be potential spoilers for the Celtics. I think both of them have the capability of being that. Miami definitely does because they have before. And Philly, I mean, listen, Embiid's back. And Doc's not their coach anymore. So, I mean, they're capable, I think, of maybe – they went 7 with him last year with Doc Rivers. So, without him, I think they're capable of beating him. I know the Celtics are different this year, but I still am worried about
that. Why do you assume the Bruins are going to steamroll Toronto, but you assume that Philly is going to give the Celtics problems? Isn't it the same exact thing? Mm. The Celtics kicked the crap out of Philly. It doesn't matter if it's Doc as their coach.
I'm not scared of Philly.
Me either. I desperately want Philly to beat Miami tonight. I'm sorry, other way around. I desperately want Miami to beat Philly tonight, so Miami's the 7. And you don't have to deal with them as the 8. I don't think the Celtics are going to lose to Miami in round 1, but I think it could be a tough series, and there's definitely potential Miami can knock them off. They've done it before. They did it last year.
Or Miami can expose some stuff about them to other teams.
So just, I don't want to deal with them. I know some people believe it'll wake them up and it'll engage them. Philly scares me 0. They're like, that's exactly like Toronto to me.
They're not exactly like Toronto. Exactly I forget like what their Toronto. Record. Did they sweep them this year? Maybe they did. I'm not sure. I know they swept the Heat.
They've never lost them in the playoffs. How about that? It's like Toronto in that way.
Sure, but they went 7 games with them last year, and Doc Rivers was the coach.
They go 7 with Toronto every time they play them.
Fine. I'm just saying, you know, that was the thing I think that helped them out the most, and the fact that Jason Tatum finally woke up at the end of that series. If Embiid wasn't playing, I'd say, yeah, no problem. They're
okay, but
over.
Embiid's coming off an injury, and he's going to be out of shape, which is like a completely different Embiid
maybe
than
he is.
Who he usually is.
I mean, he's usually out of shape, too, I think. But like,
well, I think he's going to be particularly out of shape.
Maybe he will. I just think that was a close series last year. You were down 3-2 in that series with Doc Rivers as the coach. He's not the coach anymore, and Embiid is back, and he's playing. So I take that seriously.
Let me add this, and I want to ask Scal about this coming up. Mego had some good crunch time numbers yesterday. Was that 2 days ago? That was yesterday.
Thank you. They're actually clutch numbers.
Same idea. Crunch time, clutch. What's the difference?
Clutch is like the actual phrase of the NBA.
Whatever. It's end of game tight situations. Forsberg had numbers today as well. And this is where I think you can get into a tricky game of numbers can be spun in any way, shape, or form. So the eye test to me is still the best at the end of these games. And the Celtics don't execute well in clutch situations or in crunch time. So the Celtics finished the year with the 4th best winning percentage in the clutch, 64%, while posting a 21-12 mark in any game that triggered the clutch criteria. 5 points in the final 5 minutes. Boston's net rating in the clutch was 4th best in the NBA. But Forsberg says that doesn't tell the whole story, with a team that sometimes watched the double-digit lead dwindle before salting away a win in quote-unquote clutch time. Boston was 14-12 in games where they were 1 score in the final 5 minutes. That number erodes to 8-12 in the 20 games where Boston's opponent either tied the game or led by as much as 3 in the final 5 minutes. So they're not winning tie games. They're not overcoming a deficit of just 3 points in the final 5 minutes. It should be noted, regular season clutch performance is rarely indicative of postseason clutch success. For instance, during 2022, Boston's march to the finals that year with Udoka, they were 13-22 in 35 regular season clutch games. That was the 2nd worst mark in the NBA. But they won 7 clutch games in the postseason and went to game 6 of the NBA finals. So Forsberg is saying that's not necessarily predictive of anything, but it does tell you how they've played to this point, and that's building off your numbers yesterday.
Yeah, and I would say with that 2022 team, that was a team that developed a lot over the years. So like the first half of that season felt incredibly different than the second half of that regular season. So I think that's like kind of hard to compare to this team who's been really consistent for the most part throughout. All you have to do is watch this team throughout the season. Like if you think that they're the kind of team that's going to play really differently in end of game situations once they get to the playoffs, because some kind of, switch will be flipped. Like then you believe in that.
A flip will be switched.
Yes.
Whatever.
We all know what it is.
I haven't seen it yet. Like, I really just haven't seen this team be organized in the final minutes. I haven't seen Tatum be able to execute these buzzer beaters or even these shots in clutch time, as I talked about yesterday. So, I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe it's not indicative, but I also don't see anything to indicate to me that this team has that sorted out.
Okay, fair enough. I'm worried about that, and I remain worried about that for the Celtics, and the numbers aren't good. You can slice them any way you want. Those numbers are not good for the Celtics at the end of games.
No, and it's the playoffs. I mean, listen, this is when these things matter, and it's a team that's been blowing teams out all season long. I mean, they've had big wins against all the good teams in the East and most of the teams in the West. The only team they have a losing record against this year is Denver, you know, so they've handled just about everyone who's been in front of them, including the Sixers, who I was just talking about. They beat them 3 out of 4 games this year. They lost the first game, won the next three. So, again, I mean, nothing about this regular season points to a team that is going to, you know, outwardly have a lot of trouble in the playoffs. But when you look at what these end of games look like, these close games, it's a very troubling theme that just keeps coming up.
Fair. I'll tell you, and we'll be watching the Eastern Conference games tonight. The play-in games last night, at least the first one, very entertaining. And it stinks that Zion went down in that game because he was awesome. Yeah, awesome. The whole time I'm like, yeah, I'm joking in my head. I'm like, oh, well, Zion's going to pull a hammy. He's going to get winded, something like that.
His shoe's going to explode.
He's giant.
These are jokes you have in your head during the game?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a running text chain going. And so at the whole time I'm like, ah, he's not going to keep this pace up. He's going to get injured. He's going to get hurt. He's too big. And then it actually happened, and you're like, oh, man, because he was awesome in that game last night. Lakers win the play-in. We'll watch these Eastern Conference games here tonight. But for more on all of this, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Brian Scalabrine. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Scal, how are we doing this week?
Good, good. I'm enjoying, I mean, I still have to watch those games. We're kind of like a week off getting geared up for the playoffs.
Okay, well, I imagine a lot of the league is doing that. Maybe we can circle back to this. The play-in games, I think, and I was very skeptical of them. The play-in games are a big home run for the league and a big win for the league. But we can get back to that. We were just talking about the clutch stats, the crunch time stats for the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
They can kind of be spun any way you want. Mego had some numbers yesterday. I was reading from your colleague, Chris Forsberg, at NBC Sports Boston just now. What do you see at the end of games when the Celtics are in a one- or two-possession game? What do you see with how they execute and how they come through or don't come through in those spots?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of momentum to that. Like, for instance, like the Cleveland game, right? It ended up being a one-possession game at the end. That was the one to add. But we lost, like, a 20-something point lead, right? So there's games like that. There's also the Philly game at the beginning of the year where we were down by 13, do not belong into that game. And yet we made a bunch of shots late. We cut it to one, and we ended up losing that game. So that falls into the same category. But – so there's different, like, that was a great closing, and the Cleveland game was an awful closing, right? So we've had some of those questionable games, you know, down the stretch. But, you know, we have to address that. I've said it before. I think we need to be better organized. And then there are games like in Phoenix where we were not necessarily a one-possession game, but we were executing, we were spacing right. The ball still was in Tatum's hands, but – there was a little bit of action that kind of led to Al Horford three. So they're kind of all over the board. I haven't seen enough consistency, and we're not in a lot of those games to say, oh, here's what we do. So if that is a weakness of ours, that's it right there. Like, we're just – sometimes we don't look like we execute. We don't look organized down the stretch. And but we don't have a lot of experience doing that because of, you know, our records are usually like we're kind of blowing teams out or winning by 10 or 20.
Scal, in watching the play-in games tonight, who would you prefer the Celtics see in the first round between Miami and Philly?
Well, because I missed my two Miami trips, I'm preferring Miami. There you go. Well, then both games this year were nationally televised. Listen, if you're from the Northeast and you're slotted to go to Florida twice a year and they get taken away, you know, you're a little upset. So And then from the basketball side, I think Miami would be a better matchup to us. Philly is such an unknown because I don't know what to expect from Embiid. Embiid could be fresh and rested as opposed to, you know, what we've seen in the past when he'd like had that MVP season. He wasn't great at times late in the game. So I think Miami's a better matchup for us. And I know they're the big bad Miami Heat and everything like that, but they just don't look the same. And we kind of have a chance to kind of exercise our demons in the first round. So I actually have a feeling Miami, if you're asking me, but I actually picked both play-in games wrong yesterday. I thought New Orleans would win, and then I thought the Warriors would win, so I got them both wrong. But tonight I'm picking Miami. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to play New York, and I think we're going to end up playing Philadelphia.
Scal, last year the team won 57 games, this year 64. Going into the season, did you think this roster would be 7 wins better, more or less? And also, what is the biggest difference on the floor that led to those 7 more wins between this year's team and last year's team?
Good question. Yes, I thought they'd be better. I didn't know. I took the over on the if we do a poll every year, are they going to go over or under their win total? I took over. The biggest thing on the floor to me is the spacing. like having no Rob Williams out there, you have a Drew Holiday working the dunker and Porzingis at the three. That makes us appreciably better. He gets us back in transition. We're much better there. Bringing Al Horford off the bench, I think we're better than what we had with Brogdon. It's a better fit. Just across the board, like this team is, we really, and I really thought our last year's team was really good, and just think like we're so much better. Like Holiday is so much better than Brogdon, and Porzingis is so much better than Rob Williams. And I feel like the guys like Tatum and Brown, even though maybe their statistical seasons aren't better, like their overall floor game is better and their defense is a lot better. So I was impressed with last year's team until the playoffs, and then but this year's team just seems like a different level.
Talking to Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. Scal, we talked about this a bit yesterday. The last team with the best record in the NBA to win the title was Golden State in 2017. That team had lost the year prior, was 73 wins. What year were you in Golden State? You were there prior to all that, right?
Yeah, right before they won the championship, yeah. It was okay. Steve Kerr's first year, and he replaced the staff that was there before. I was on that staff.
So they went back and forth the 2 years before 2017. They won 1 year with the best record. They lost with 73 wins in 2016. Since then, the Bucks three different times, the 64-win Phoenix Suns in 2022, the 65-win Rockets in 2018, even the Jazz led the NBA 1 year in there in 2021. None of them have broken through and won a title. Why do you think that is? Do you see a commonality there? And are the Celtics the team to break that streak?
Yeah, I'd have to dive into really like how far that is off, to see why the best team. Because, back in the day, it used to be the best team. I mean,
exactly.
All the time. Like, but it's changed a lot lately. I would say I think that teams that are like starting to come off or saying like we have to have the best record. I think that was the thing. I don't think that teams that are veterans think like that. Maybe like next year, I wonder if we were to win a championship, if our team would have the same mentality that we have to have the best record in the NBA. It looks like Denver went for it. I don't know if you guys saw the San Antonio game. They not for the best record, but they kind of went to have the home court advantage throughout the West.
Seed, yeah.
And I think as teams like kind of get more experience, I think it's not as big of a deal to them to have the best record. I feel like they feel they can go on the road and win that. But I can only say this. I do feel like 1 year I was with the Chicago Bulls and we had the best record in the NBA and Miami beat us. I don't think anybody thought that we were better than Miami, but we had the best record. Like we pushed ourselves to get that best record. So sometimes there's a little bit of that. I do feel like we're the best team with the best record. And maybe it's just like an anomaly, but I don't think when you talked about that Utah team, no one thought or stamped Utah to win a championship that year. I think this is like where you say, okay, the best team in the NBA happens to also have the best record.
We've had this discussion on our show looking around the Eastern Conference. Outside of the Celtics, who do you think is the scariest player for the Celtics?
To go against?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's Embiid, but, the team that I'm most scared of is the Knicks. And just, like, their physicality, they're really handsy on the perimeter, and they have the shot blocking. Brunson's a real he's a good player. I don't know if people fully understand how good he
Some
is.
Of think, Some of us do. Some of us do, Scal.
Do you think Brunson is the scariest player in the East outside of the Celtics?
He said Embiid.
No, I think Embiid is because he's a monster.
Brunson.
But
because
no,
Christian Arcan thinks so.
I think it's Brunson personally. We can agree to disagree, Scott.
You think he's more scary than Embiid? Like from a basketball side, I kind of agree with you. From just Embiid's an unknown. He is such an unknown. But yeah, Brunson's tough. But we have a lot of defenders to throw at him. Like to me, the Knicks are the scariest team in the East, followed by the. It was the Bucks at one point, but I don't know what's going on with there and Giannis and everything like that. But it's followed by the 76ers to me. Those two teams are, I just don't know what to expect from the Sixers with Embiid. But if the Knicks get through to the conference finals and we're there, that's not going to be us just dusting them up. That's going to be a real conference finals, and they're gonna fight. I do think we're better than they are, but I think it will exercise some demons for us if we can go ahead and . Those are the type of games and teams that sometimes we struggle with, like those real handsy physical teams with shot blocking. So that would be something that I'd be concerned about. But like, if we lose, it's only because something's wrong with us. Like, it's only because Tatum and Brown are not insanely good. And if they're average, I don't know what to expect, because I know that Brunson's not going to be average. But usually the best players win. And we should have, we have those two best players, and they have to not just be like 24 points a game, 25 points a game. They have to be great.
I really regret asking this question. I think we should strike it from the record because now Christian Arcan is going to use
beaming.
This as
I think we
a victory.
Make a, we should make a plaque.
Like, he's the basketball expert
he's
for
beaming.
The next week at least.
Yeah, he's beaming.
This is 2 years for me with the Brunson thing. I've had this take for a while, Scott.
Oh, yeah, he's nasty. Like, yeah. Footwork-wise, everything he provides, yeah. Like, if you like him, you're a hoop head because that's what –
Thank you.
Like, there's not a lot of people that understand how good – I mean, there's like – a lot of people that have gone against him and said how good he is. He's really good.
Mego is so insulted right now. She's so offended that Arcan's getting all this shine.
Ryan, can you make a promo out of this?
Mego, who'd you pick?
Who's the scariest in the East?
Yep.
I'm still scared of Jimmy Butler. Too much history. Wow. I have trauma with that. Yeah. I know. Scal,
what do you think of that? Not a hoop. Doesn't know ball, right, Scal?
Don't know ball.
No, it's not that. He's tough, but I don't know. You've watched Miami this year. They don't look the same, but
yeah, no,
you never
know.
They didn't look good last year either.
No, that's true.
No, you're right about that.
Come around on Brunson. I did mock Arcan for that take last year. One before we let you go. Jack Edwards, we found out he's retiring yesterday. That was announced late in the program. We talked about Mike Gorman last week. You were around Mike. I mean, you were there on Mike Gorman Day, the final day of the year. You're going to be doing these games with him. What are the impressions that you get from him about winding down this experience?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Like, you know, so for the most part, I haven't talked to him about the whole thing, and I hung out with him the entire day. But I'm just there to support. Like, I'm just there to, you know, like, if to be there for him because he meant so much to me. What it means to him, that's not really my concern. That's not like what I'm there to do. So I don't know. I think, put it this way, I'm only 46 years old and I've never ever known anybody that's retired. You know what I mean by that? Like, I just don't have friends that retire at that age. So it was all new to me, but I don't think I could say about my,
what about all those NBA players?
Yeah. Your whole 2018.
No, that's not the same thing. No one wants to be done. You just can't do it anymore. That's not the same thing. That's
not
the same thing.
Are your parents still grinding? They're still working?
No, no. But it's like, it's not like you see someone. My dad was just like a guy who worked. He didn't get like a going away party or anything like that.
I see.
I just never dealt with anything. My dad was one day just woke up and said, "You know what? I'm good, man." That was it. No parade. No. No day or anything like that. So it was just different for me. But with that, you know, like, I owe Mike the world. Like, I would not be who I am. I think people would hate me on TV, and I would hate myself listening to me if it wasn't for Mike Gorman. Like, him and Tommy taught me so much about the TV business and how to conduct a conversation on the phone and be engaging and stuff like that. They've done so much for me. I would never, ever, ever be able to repay what they've done for me. So that's why I stand with the whole thing.
All right, well, we'll be watching these last few games here with Mike Gorman. Hopefully it's a deep playoff run for the Celtics. He's Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. We'll talk to you next week, Scal.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right, Brian Scalabrine, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline.
What a great hit that was. Really, I mean, top notch.
Now we got to deal with Arcan peacocking around.
You got to deal
Jaylen
with me,
Brunson.
Too, by the way, because he just laughed and said, "Have you watched the Heat this year?" Mego.
I'm not talking about the Heat. I'm talking about Jimmy Butler.
That made him giggle.
It did.
Arcan,
I'm
proud of you.
Although, you know what? All these hoop heads like Garvin and Scal, they were all mocking the Heat last year. And what happened?
Okay. Well, guess what? Scal just said he's never met a retired person. He played in the NBA.
I immediately thought of his parents. I'm like, oh my God, Scal, could you give him some money, for God's sake? Are your parents still working?
Like,
how old are they?
People retire from the NBA at like 33.
I didn't even think about it. Right, I wasn't even thinking like his NBA, like his whole team is retired. He's retired. What's he talking about? So fair point. A little all over the map, but he sided with Arcan, which is just miserable for all of us.
He sided with hoop heads, yes.
Yeah, it's true. What is he again, Scal?
You're a hoop head.
617-779-7937. It's Jones and Mego with Hoophead Arcan over here. What's coming up in Triple Play, Arcan?
Triple Play, we're talking NBA dynasties, your favorite Maple Leafs, and Belichick coaching rivals.
Okay, that's next.
You're a hoophead.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play!
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mago.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best, triples makes it safe, and it is Wild Card Wednesday, Jones and Mego, so let's cut those break lines and get to Wild Card question number one.
Number one.
Mego, we'll start with you. Where do you rank the Golden State Warriors, assuming their dynasty is over, and it sure looked over last night in that play-in tournament, where do you rank the Warriors among NBA dynasties?
Okay, so I would say behind the Celtics and the Bulls, obviously, but I think I have them in at three.
What Celtics dynasty?
The from the way back when.
The 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the original original.
Mm.
I know. I was sitting here thinking about this on the tee, and I was like, in my heart of hearts, I think Bulls is number one, but it's just disrespectful to what the league was back then, and it's like this thing where you can't compare the two different eras. I just felt like it was disrespectful to slate the Celtics behind the Bulls. But then I'd put the Warriors three, and then I'd probably go like Spurs.
Could you imagine, like, you know, the late Tommy Heinsohn, Bill Russell, Bob Cousy, they're all just standing there like packing it in the paint, and Steph Curry just takes one step over half court and just drains threes over their heads from like 30 feet away. They're like, we've never seen anything like this before. The Warriors would wipe their ass with the 60s Celtics. I would go Jordan Bulls still number one, and to me, then it's a toss-up, Showtime Lakers or the Golden State Warriors. I do think there's a lot of similarities. I'm going to lean Golden State over the 80s. I would put them number two behind the Jordan Bulls.
All right, let's get to wild card question number two.
Number two.
Hang on.
What?
Chief Larry Bird defender doesn't have an answer there? No, you don't have anything to say?
Sure. Well, I thought we were going like, quickly here because we're pressed for time.
We are.
Coming up, so I was trying to go quickly.
I'm just aghast there was no answer there. But
I would probably have them like fourth, I would say. I'd have the 60 Celtics ahead of that because they can only play who they played against. And then I'd have the Lakers, 80 Celtics, Bulls, so I'd have them fifth. I'd have the Warriors fifth. All right, let's get to wild card question number 80
Celtics. 80 Celtics.
Ahead of the Bulls, he says, yeah.
Jones, who is your favorite and least favorite Toronto Maple Leaf of all time?
Okay, well, my favorite is pretty easy. Remember Wendell Clark?
Yeah.
You ever play, if you played like NHL 94 or anything like that, he's a big, fat, bearded guy for Toronto. I thought he had a 50-goal year. I looked this up earlier today. Never scored 50 goals, but he was awesome to play with in those games. So Wendell Clark I liked. He was kind of a lifer, very popular up there. With the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not, I don't think he finished his career there, or at least he left late in his career. I like Wendell Clark. I like a nice hefty athlete skating around out there.
Could have said Phil Kessel for that.
True. Phil Kessel's a great one, actually. I didn't even think of Phil choking down hot dogs in between games. The worst is Ty Domi. Dirty, hateable. Ty Domi's the worst.
All right, Mego.
Okay, I'm going to go with favorite Tim Horton because
nice.
Of the chain.
Yep. Of course.
Great.
And least favorite, like, I'm going to concede to Arcan because I just don't have the kind of hate that I think fuels other people with
okay.
the Maple Leaf.
Well, my favorite is Matt Sundin. I loved Sundin when he played. And my least favorite is Dion Phaneuf because
Thank
he always
you.
Hit people and he never fought. I hated Dion Phaneuf. He was the biggest pussycat in the world. And I hate watching him play. Pussycat.
Yeah.
You can say pussycat.
No, you can't.
No, you just said it three times.
I did, because you can say that. On the rates, okay to say. But he was the worst. He turtled every time. Whenever someone tried to challenge him for those big hits, he'd run away and he wouldn't fight. And that
people
annoyed me.
People, now that we're talking that out, people hated Kadri when he was there. Are you just, you're just jealous he's married to Elijah Cuthbert? Is that what you're
I am pretty upset.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of that, too. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to wild card question number three.
Number three.
Mego, who was Bill Belichick's fiercest coaching rival over his head coaching career?
This is a really good one. Jones, you go first. I have like three that I'm choosing between.
Okay. You don't want to go with it? I would say Shanahan, and I know they weren't like perfect contemporaries. I would say Shanahan because Shanahan was kind of looked at as, you know, the boy wonder who took over and won Super Bowls, and I think Bill really respects Shanahan. I think that's somebody who he looks across the field and says, that's a guy who I can go toe-to-toe with. I know they weren't perfect contemporaries, so if that doesn't work, Reed would be a fallback for me as well, but I would go Shanahan.
See, I was thinking either Coughlin because he beat him twice with far inferior teams, or there was just like an interesting little interlude there with Pete Carroll because of Pete Carroll's history with New England. And then also that Pete Carroll for a time was just the complete opposite of Bill Belichick, and those two teams going against each other when Pete Carroll's defense was so outstanding. I thought it was kind of intriguing, but I think I'd have to go with Coughlin.
Yeah, Coughlin's a good one. I got to be honest. Wow. Got to be honest.
You broke your microphone.
That was such a brilliant take that it flew my microphone right off.
The mic was just like...
Yeah, the microphone just exploded.
It was a mic drop.
I don't know why I didn't think of Coughlin, but Coughlin's
the mic dropped
a great
itself.
One. So there you go. It's triple play each and every day at this time. I'll try to fix this. And when we come back, we're going to talk to one of the authors of this latest story about Bill Belichick. Jeremy Fowler, along with Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta, authored the story. We'll get his thoughts on Bill, his future, Robert Kraft stabbing him in the back, and these quarterbacks. What are the Patriots going to do at number three? That's...
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.